6:37. Dean Richards Sunday morning, 720 WGN with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Dean. How are you on this beautiful, rainy, coldy, cold Sunday?
Well, thanks for trying to cheer me up like that. I appreciate that. You'll be happy to know that I got my flu shot yesterday.
Good for you. I'm proud of you there.
Taking the advice of Dr. Kevin Most, getting my my flu shot. My arm, of course, is sore. Yep. I knew that. But I don't have flu, but I felt achy last night. I felt like ugh, like when you get the flu, those kind of symptoms. Is that common when you get a flu shot?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people will get that, and then people say, "Oh, I got the flu from the shot," and really, it's not. You know, that achiness and kind of, you know, just kind of worn out feeling that you have for about a day is actually the body's, you know, saying, hey, I'm starting to react to what you just gave me. Mm. And that's actually a good sign.
That's a good sign that the vaccine is taking effect. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you've irritated the immune system and it's going to show you, but that's exactly what we want to happen.
Oh, good.
So, and it only lasts for, you know, a day or so.
Yeah.
Better than the 10 days of influenza.
Well, you know, I will say this, that while I was feeling a little achy last night and listless, and I thought, well, this is pretty sure this is common with the flu shot. At least this is a reminder to me of what I don't want later in the season, 10 times worse. And also with all this talk of COVID-19, I mean, you know, anytime somebody sneezes now or gets a little sniffle or something, everyone thinks they've got the COVID-19. So, I mean, it's just a reminder of why everybody has to be careful because.
Yeah, and a reminder of why we want to get everybody vaccinated this year, just to eliminate that possibility of, boy, is this influenza? Is this COVID? You know, let's try to minimize our influenza numbers.
Right. I'm also a little surprised that somebody has not invented, you know, how they put a Band-Aid over when they give you the injection, how somebody has not invented a Band-Aid that doesn't rip the hair off your arm. Because so that was really the most unpleasant part of the whole experience.
Yeah.
So somebody needs to invent that somehow. So let's get into our all things COVID-19 chat that we always have on Sunday mornings. It's very disturbing to me when I, you know, watch the news and I hear the numbers from all sources saying that numbers are going up and that the reports of positive testing for COVID-19 are going up. They've not flattened. They're not going down. We sort of expected this, I guess, when the weather got a little cooler, right?
Yeah, we did. You know, our big concern all along was, are we going to see this big bump in the fall? And it certainly looks like it's headed that way. If you look globally, you can see what's going on in Europe right now, which is very concerning. And if you get it down to us just even here locally, you know, we were at about a 3.6, 3.7 positivity rate. You know, now we're creeping up over 5%. You know, days like today when the weather's bad, people are going to stay indoors. We're going to start doing more things inside. And that's going to be definitely one of our concerns.
I've been reading more and more stories, both in the news, but also just on social media, of people talking about their kids testing positive for COVID-19. You know, we've heard all along that young people were, you know, much safer with this than older people. But I'm hearing lots of stories now about people, I would say, under the age of 25, in some cases, teenagers. I read a heartbreaking story on social media this morning of someone whose daughter was 19 years old who passed away.
Yes. You're kind of spot on there. We are seeing much more in the kids and teens, even adolescents. And then again, that young adult population that's getting this, which is one of our concerns. One, certainly everyone says, well, you know, kids will do so much better with this. They don't seem to be, you know, and partially that is true. Kids really and young adults we're finding are asymptomatic or can tolerate the symptoms for the most part. However, we do have individuals like the one that you just spoke about on social media. You know, we have to understand that in the math here, we are going to have kids that are either going to get severe illness and have long-term effects, and in some cases, unfortunately, pass from the illness. So this is a virus that, you know, we just can't, we have to show it some respect regardless of our age.
And the other thing I think that is so predominant in the news right now are seeing people in large groups, whether they are in, you know, nightclub areas, you know, party areas. If you go down to Rush Street on a Saturday night into the Old Town area and places where people socialize, you see large groups of people not practicing social distancing, not wearing masks. You see people at political rallies, large groups of people not social distancing, not wearing masks. Is that a recipe for trouble later on?
It really is. You know, whether that is COVID fatigue, whether that is complacency, whether that is poor leadership role models, I can't tell you, you know, and I'm not going to go into the social side of it, but from the medical side of it, yeah, that's our biggest concern right now. And you hit on it earlier. Think about that. The population that you're talking about that is down on Rush Street and in these areas, that's the group that may have mild illness and still test positive and not even know it, so that they're now spreading it even further. And, you know, we're all talking about, hey, we need to open the economy. We need to, I can tell people right now, if we have this big resurgence, this is going to be difficult for the economy, certainly. But I'll tell you, the healthcare systems across this country are going to be stressed to a point of breaking in some cases.
Yeah, and you know, you tell me, but it seems like if we continue the pattern of positivity going up into the, I mean, we're just in October right now. Imagine when we get into November, December, January, February, March, when we're all going to be inside, and the kind of stress this is going to put on, you know, our medical workers and facilities, I can see it being a little bit disastrous.
Absolutely. You know, we don't have to look very far. If you want to look into, you know, what's going on in London, okay, let's look a little bit closer. Let's go just a couple miles north of us and look at what's happening in Madison and Green Bay, where hospitals are filled. Let's go down and look a couple hours to the south of us, where, you know, the Carolinas, again, are now being hit hard in Georgia. So although here in Chicago we have done well, whether that's because we're smart and we've kind of paid attention, or we've been lucky, I'm not sure. But we're starting to get surrounded by states and by the temperature changes and all the things that we're looking at to say, boy, we could be in for a rough, rough fall.
What is your opinion of the so-called herd immunity theory, that if enough people test positive, get the disease, test positive, get through it, they are now immune, then we become an immune society?
Okay. I'm glad you asked, because this is really has been a very hot topic, this whole Barrington Declaration that was thrown out there. And like you said, the concept is, you know what, let the disease run rampant through the community, and let's just, you know, protect the vulnerable population. Unfortunately, on this virus, that math does not work. If you look at the, what are we at, 8 million cases here in the United States, 220,000 deaths, in order for us to get to a herd immunity number, we would need to be at 200 million people who would get this illness.
Wow.
Now, not only is that going to put a lot of stress on the healthcare system, it's going to put a big stress on the economy, but also everyone has to understand that although we look at the number of deaths and we look at the number of hospitalizations, people don't understand that this illness has a lot of long-term effects on people. People who get this and survive are not going back and running the Boston Marathon. You know, many of them are still short of breath, you know, every single day, have heart issues, have kidney issues. So although they survived the illness, we still have a lot of people with long-term effects. And if we're going to say the Barrington Declaration is the way to get this, let's infect everybody. We have to be ready for tens of millions of people who are going to have long-term effects due to this illness.
Yeah. And, you know, I always think, you know, if you accept that theory, are you willing to sacrifice some of your own loved ones who might not make it through that? It's not something that you know, that I can process in my head.
And that's the frustrating part is, you know, you see people on the news saying, well, you know, I'm fine. I'm going to do just fine if I get this one. Well, I'll tell you, that's not the dice I would want to roll, because I can tell you I have a very good friend who's extremely healthy, and he has been going through 2 weeks of absolute, you know, hell with this illness. And he's much healthier than some of these people we're seeing on the news. So everyone has to realize that although we talk about the vulnerable population, the impact it has on them, even the young, healthy people will still get this and can have some devastating outcomes.
Questions for Dr. Mo, 630 area code. Should we be going outside getting fresh air, even if it's cold out?
Absolutely. You know, get outside as much as you possibly can. Two reasons for that. One is we're really starting to see the number of sunlight days kind of decrease as we're shortening the days here. So getting outside at least gets you some vitamin D, which we know is good for the immune system. Two, if you're outside, good possibility you're doing some form of exercise, which again is good for you. And two, if you want to decrease the chance of the illness, being outside where we have much better air circulation certainly decreases that. That's why restaurants were allowed to be open, you know, outdoor. So we know that being outside is probably one of the safest places for you.
773 area code. I'm getting chemo and radiation. Can I get a flu shot?
Well, talk to your doctor, but yes, you can. Most doctors are going to say, we want you to get the flu shot. You will not be allowed to get the flu mist. So if you're afraid of needles, you won't be able to get that. But most individuals, those are the individuals that we really want to protect as much as we can from getting influenza, because their immune system, you know, can be obviously devastated. But usually the oncologist will tell you the perfect timing for you to get that based on your chemotherapy regime.
So here's a call, Kevin, saying, Dean, if you grew hair on your head instead of your arms, it wouldn't hurt when the Band-Aid got pulled off. Now, that's not a helpful call text whatsoever.
No, you got to admit, it's funny.
It is funny. It is funny. 312-981-7200. Here is Elliot. You are on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Good morning, everybody. I have a twofold question. One, what does your blood type have to do with susceptibility? And two, how long do you have to be around somebody with COVID before you contract it? I'll listen to your response. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Great, Elliot. Great questions, Elliot, and very interesting. You know, what we always thought initially was, hey, blood type really has no matter whatsoever. But boy, does it. And we recently have found, as we looked at numerous studies now, showing that those individuals with type O blood appear to be have some protection, not all protection, but to have some protection and actually sizable protection over the other blood types. Why? We're still trying to figure that out. Because if you think about red blood cells versus the immune system, red blood cells are blood type, carry oxygen to our brain, to our kidneys, to our lungs, all that, but really not part of the immune system. But it certainly appears very statistically that type O blood people have some protection against COVID. Your other question about exposure, if you look at the CDC definition, it's 15 minutes and 6 feet of someone who is positive. So if you're in a closed environment and talking to somebody that doesn't know they're positive and you're with them for a period of 15 minutes, certainly have a high chance of the disease spreading. And we have found that since this new strain came in June and July, that it spreads a lot easier than we thought. And now we're also having the concern when we're inside that we're really using not only droplet precautions, but aerosol precautions, which means that the virus can travel greater than that 6 feet when in an area that the circulation of air is not as great as it is outside.
Helpful to know. And, so people can distance properly. The 847 area code asks, my daughter is invited to a wedding in New York in January. 70 people outdoors, but in a tent. Is that safe?
Well, you know, that's going to be the out for a lot of restaurants and venues, as they're going to go to these tents and then they are considered to be outside. It really is going to depend on air circulation. The number of 70 is interesting. You know, the state here obviously was looking at 50. But still, I look at weddings as, will you wear a mask? Will you be in close contact with people? I don't care if you're in a tent or you're in a outside. Most weddings I go to, people want to sit and converse. And actually, it gets so loud that you get much closer than 6 feet with right. people to have a conversation.
Yep.
So I'm kind of concerned with a lot of these weddings that are going on right now and other large gatherings.
Yeah, I'm concerned, you know, because alcohol is consumed at you know, events like that. But also what I was talking about before in, you know, on Rush Street and some of the nightclub areas, people are drinking, their inhibitions are down. And, you know, the masks come off and they're doing things that they know that they shouldn't be doing. I mean, that's just a fact. And I've wondered, as I've seen restaurants putting up these tents, isn't that the same thing as being outside, or being inside, rather?
Well, now they are. As you're seeing the tents go up and the sides being put on, you know, the air circulation is probably even less than sometimes. I'm sure you've been at a weddings outside in the summer with the tents and it's stifling inside or outside, where you say, gosh, I'd rather be inside with some air circulation. And I think you're right as far as the alcohol. You know, that someone's going to do a study that's just going to show the inverse proportion of the number of drinks that an individual has versus the amount of time that they wear a mask. So you're spot on that portion as well, that as we're in a social gathering and have a few drinks, you know, someone's going to take the mask off a lot quicker than they would if they were in public in the middle of the day at a business meeting.
Yeah, and Mike here with kind of a related question. Mike, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is there or why isn't there a lot of emphasis being put on air filtration? Because, you know, much like in the 90s, there were smoke eaters in crowded bars. It is not technologically hard to clean the air with some of these high-velocity filtration systems.
Does that help, Kevin?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Mike. If you look at air circulation in hospitals, and I'll even tell you in airplanes, where we have the high filtration systems, so we have the HEPA filters, you know, our goal is to really filter out as much as we possibly can. If you look at most filters in heating systems and in houses, it's really to get the large dust and dust particles, and it really doesn't get down to the concentration of the HEPA filter can take out. So there is a cost related with that as well as circulation. But there are a lot of people right now that are taking these smaller filtration systems that can work in a single room and putting it in rooms in their home that they're spending the most time in. If we all could afford to have, you know, hospital-grade HEPA filters in our homes, in our businesses, and in our restaurants, it certainly would help filter out a lot of that. We still would have the concern of being close to somebody where that virus is being projected to that individual in a short period of time, regardless of whether or not you had air circulation and HEPA. But certainly in the long run, it would make the air a lot safer as we go into the fall.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Always good to talk to you, Kevin. Have a great week. Thank you.
You got it, Dean. Take care.
Thank you very much.